Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up there this morning, so make sure you get on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, well, as we know, you and I, that Major League Baseball and the Players Union and the owners are getting together every day this week to try to solve the lockout, and I just saw 5 minutes of that lovely Around the Horn show on ESPN where they blamed everything completely on the owners and talked about how much money the owners have made for years off the game, and the players are just trying to get some of it back. Dan, do they think there's people out there who aren't stupid enough to know that players, really good players, make millions upon millions of dollars to play the game, and the average salary for a major league player is like close to $500,000? I mean, are these guys really hurting for money?
When you take Bryce Harper compared to the guy making a minimum compared to that guy, yeah, that minimum is hurting for money.
Right. So then my question becomes, is Bryce Harper going to give some of his money back to that minimum guy?
No. No.
Right.
So,
and to be fair, right, isn't Bryce Harper the better player? Shouldn't he get more?
Yes.
More and more it looks like the start of the season is going to be delayed. And apparently this is a player's negotiating strategy, Dan. They believe with all the money the owners lost 2 years ago due to the COVID-19 outbreak, the player's side apparently believes that the owners will give in because they're not going to want to lose money again. So that's a great strategy. Instead of being up and up and actually doing legitimate bargaining, they're holding out hoping billionaires will cave because they don't want to lose money. And I think, I don't know about you, Dan, but doesn't that really only hurt the smaller market teams? I mean, are the Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, Padres, teams like that that can spend money and will spend money, is it really going to bother them that much?
No. No, and, I mean, so one of the things I can see from the player side is a lot of them are trying to fight for more money for the younger guys, you know. I mean, a rookie of the year can be an MVP, and, you know, he's only making $650,000 for the season.
You do wonder if there's a way to work that out those first few years when the players are in arbitration and they don't make too much. I would have no problem with increasing that. And obviously the rule the players really need to stand pat on is that stupid time service rule, you know, as they call it, called it yesterday the Chris Brown rule, where, you know, he was like 1 day short and had to give the Cubs a whole year. So they definitely need to work that out. But it's getting to the point where I'm just so tired of listening to how it's all the owner's fault because the owners locked them out. Do we really think the players were going to report without a new CBA? What were they going to play under, Dan? Rob Manfred's rule, who works for the owners?
And I'm going to keep my opinion out of it, but, because I don't want to get too confused with so much that's out there. But, I've seen so many people. Why do they have a guy who hates baseball in charge of baseball?
Yeah. Well, sadly, in a way, that's probably the best thing because then he doesn't make rash decisions like you or I would make if we were the commissioner. So.
Exactly. at the same time, I think there's a business part of it, and I don't know. It just seems like both sides are too stuck in what they want. He can't, I guess in the end, he's not being a very good negotiator between the two, wouldn't you say? Or I don't know if it's him, but I would think that, let's say because I did see the announcement that Tomei was made the president. You know what I mean? Like, is it Tony and, is it Tony? No, or Tomei. Tomei and Rob sit down? How does it work?
Yeah, no, it's a group, because each team has its union rep and, they have to be there and, anything else that kind of shakes through, because I know, I read yesterday or 2 days ago that Ian Happ attended the meetings because he's the Cubs player rep.
Oh.
So... It just, and I don't know if these guys are there every day or what kind of input they actually have into it. But yeah, it's a bit of a rotating cast and crew behind Tony Clark, who's the president of the Players Union.
Yeah.
So, it's just, It's ridiculous that these two sides that both make so much money can't come together on an agreement. It's just that simple. So,
pretty much.
It drives me nuts that there's so much money out there and they fight over, nickels and dimes when there's billions out on the table. My big thing that I know will never happen is, if the players are worried about not being paid properly, pay them on performance.
Yeah. Well, and how long have I been arguing that?
Yeah. I know that's something you and I have talked about here multiple times, but, if that's your big issue – Get paid by how you perform, and you won't have to worry about who's making, what for money. Because you'll be being paid what you're worth, like basically everybody else is.
Well, yeah, and do you see how quickly analytics would be kind of really scrutinized compared to the standard statistics? So, can you imagine if you put everybody – I don't think, if you did a system like that, it'd have to be tiered on service. And I think that would be the only difference, The rookie would be getting the 650 as the minimum, but the 10-year vet should have a different minimum. But that 10-year vet can have a crappy year, and that, guy in the league for 2 years can rack up a bunch of playing time, home run, get that batting average up. Voting an all-star, because that would have to be included. And he could go out and make as much money as the guy who's been in for 13 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and then of course, you know, there would have to be some, I think some team things. I mean, if you're playing for a winner, you know, or if, you know, basically you've helped your team win, I should say.
Yeah.
That's wonderful English. You know, ways, you know, there's ways to work that stuff in, I'm sure. But yeah, you know, I mean, that would solve a lot of problems. Of course, it would also mean players who basically didn't earn their money wouldn't get their money, and that would be a problem for the union. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, the way it is. And then, of course, they would, you know, have to complain. You know, they wouldn't have anything to complain about. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, one of those interesting things. But yeah, I was looking here, and I think this will give me what I wanted to inform you. Yeah, here you go, Dan. And you know, the true American League MVP, as we know, last year should have been Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Just because he didn't pitch, people didn't vote for him. He scheduled this year, Dan, after the year he had to make
$1 million.
I think he jumps to $8 million last year. Right, he made $605,000 to $400,000. So he made just a little over $605,000.
Yeah,
that's what the Blue Jays. That's what the Blue Jays had to pay Brad last year. This year he had. Okay, if that's not a steal, I don't know what was. Because I mean, you know, we're looking at a guy who should have won the MVP. He hit 48 bombs. He had 111 and hit .311.
Which no one does anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if that's not a, you know, and that's why I understand why they want that arbitration rule when you're in those years tweaked. Because, I mean, if he has anywhere close to the exact same year, I mean, million even a steal for him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, he's putting up, wouldn't you say, close to Trout, Bryce Harper numbers? So
you
want to value him, compare him to a guy, someone in the American League, the whole league, he's comparable at that $30 million tag. I mean, you know, say it how you want to say it, but I think fantasy-wise, but even if I was building a major league team, I would probably go over him, over Manny. Any day.
Oh, yeah, just for the fact that he's younger. You know, I mean, you could even mention how, you know, I mean, like, he had, obviously, you know, Trout was hurt last year, so it's tough to kind of, you know, throw him in. But, I mean, at this point, wouldn't you take him over Harper?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I know, well, you know, people are all of a sudden going to decide they want to include defense, and we'll hear how Harper's the better defender and you know, the that kind of crap. But that, you know, that's just what they always throw in when they're losing the argument. So, not that Harper didn't have a good year last year. He really had a bounce back year, but he's been really up and down as of late. And, I mean, we'll see how Guerrero does going into next year. Well, if there even is a next year with the way this is going. And I think I shorted him on home runs. He actually had 48. I think I said 41. So, you know, and is this the time, Dan, they complain about stolen bases because he only had four, even though they no longer matter in the game?
Yeah.
Is that where the base running team comes up with, like, you know, Trout and Miggy when Miggy won the Triple Crown and shouldn't have been the MVP? So.
Yeah, that was always a interesting one, so to speak, which made no sense.
Well, you know, it was a way for them to defend their position because they knew they were wrong. You know, you start reaching for stuff like that. You know, you're wrong. You know, you bring up these goofy, you know, oh, my God, you know, but he can do this and your guy can't. Yeah, Trout's a better defender than Miggy. Miggy won the Triple Crown. Nobody wins the Triple Crown. It hasn't been done since. You know, he was the first one since, like, I think it was 67 or 69. So, you know, it's just like, oh, God, please shut up. So, but, yeah, and then I saw kind of a I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know if I would call it interesting or not, but there was a lot of kind of fuss made about this, and I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but the Yankees announced that they were going to retire Paul O'Neill's number. And I have to tell you, that caught me a little bit off guard, because while not that O'Neill wasn't a good player, I just don't know if he put up retirement worthy numbers. I mean, do you remember much about O'Neill? Did he stand out to you where you think, oh, this guy needs to, his number should be retired?
No, I mean, I wouldn't even, well, granted, not being a Yankee fan, but I haven't thought about him in forever, right? When you said his name, I had to think about it.
Yeah, and, you know, he spent 8 years with Cincinnati, you know, with the Reds before moving to the Yankees. He spent 9 years there. He hit .303 with 185 home runs. He drove in 858, you know, runs. He stole 80 bases, had 304 doubles. And, you know, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like retirement-worthy numbers. I mean, does it to you?
No.
You know, I want to double check this before I shoot my mouth off here. Yeah, I mean, he didn't even stay on the Hall of Fame ballot past his first year of eligibility. You know, I mean, he did finish fifth in the MVP voting 4 years in a row. And he placed in the top 15, let's see, that's 12 times, but that's way too many. I think that's a split set. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, he finished in the top 5 in the MVP once and inside the top 15 three times while he was with the Yankees. You know, I mean, he was a multiple-time All-Star there. He made 4 All-Star appearances, but, you know, I mean, I look at his numbers here, Dan, and, I mean, he never had more than 24 home runs. You know, 117 is his career high in RBIs. I get that, you know, he's part of their broadcast team. Do you think that's what brought it on more than the fact that he was a great – I mean, I guess I would call him a very good player, but I don't think I would call him a great player, would you?
No, sadly.
You know, I mean, I wasn't giving this to him because he won the batting title back in 1994. I mean, you know, not that anybody cares about the batting title anymore. So
Well, you know, I was going to say, is it just something the Yankees feel like they have to do?
I'm kind of wondering, but just,
you know, it's just something that they have to do, that they feel like they need for some reason just to put out there.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they did just retire Derek Jeter's number, so it's not like they haven't, you know, retired a number in a while. So,
yeah, so that's why I'm trying to figure out what the motive behind it is, so to speak.
Yeah, I you know, I like I said, I was hoping you could you know, you could shed a little light on this. But, I mean, you know, when you start looking at the guys who are retired, you know, Billy Martin, who was a great manager, with them, won multiple World Series. I mentioned Jeter. Of course, there's Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, all right, Joe DiMaggio, Joe Torre, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Phil Dickey, Roger Maris, Phil Rizzuto, Thurman Munson, Whitey Ford, Jorge Posada, Don Mattingly, Elston Howard, Casey Stengel, Jackie Robinson, of course. That goes along with Mariano Rivera. They both were 42. Reggie Jackson, Andy Pettit, Ron Guidry, Bernie Williams. Are you taking O'Neill over any of those guys I just mentioned?
No. Was he a lifelong Yankee?
Who, O'Neill? No, he spent 9-8 years with the Reds.
Okay, yeah, I see, and I couldn't remember. So, you know, because I was going to say, why not retire CeCe's number then?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I'm thinking here is, I mean, what are the qualifications now to get your number retired by the Yankees? You know, and I guess that, you know, being a lifetime Yankee probably doesn't count, because it's going to be hard now in today's day and age to
yeah.
get that retired. I mean, you know, I'm baffled as to, you know, and again, not that O'Neill wasn't a really good player. I just don't know if he put up retirement-worthy stats.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, weren't you just kind of on the fence even with the Bernie Williams?
Yeah, you know, I mean, but at least Bernie, I believe Bernie was a career Yankee. I don't think he played,
yeah.
You know, if it did, it was one of those things where he may have made an appearance here or there before coming, but I can double check that real quick. Yeah, no, Williams only played in the major leagues for the Yankees. You know, and his numbers are very similar to O'Neill's, but he won 4 World Series. He was a 4-time Gold Glove winner and also an ALCS MVP. So he, you know, he's got a little bit of numbers to go behind him there. Let me see what O'Neill was here. O'Neill did win 5 World Series in a Yankee uniform. But, you know, there's no defensive stats, none of that fun stuff or anything like that. I mean, he wasn't a Gold Glove winner. He'll, you know, he was never a great defender.
Yeah.
So, I would think Bernie is a, you know, with the exception of the World Series, Bernie's, you know, got the numbers on him, because their batting numbers are very similar. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I was hoping, you know, you had some more light on that and could shed that on to why they decided to do that. Are they doing it on a day where they don't draw fans? They think that people will show up to watch O'Neill get inducted into the, you know, is it a game against, I'm trying to think who, you know, is it a, you know, a game against the Orioles? Of course, they would show up because they're a division rival, but, you know.
Yeah. A game against the Twins?
Yeah, something, you know, something like that, you know, that just doesn't. You know, I don't know. It just seemed kind of odd to me. And I know there were some other, I heard some other debates on it, but, you know, nothing we can do about it now, right?
No.
You know, we'll see how it goes. Humorously, I flipped by your favorite channel yesterday, the Marquee Network, and they had an old Cub Padres game on, and your guy Ricky was leading off. So I
nice.
Stayed to watch the first at bat. I turned it off. So,
Oh, I forgot about that. My dad canceled cable, so I don't get the Marquee Network anymore.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I think, you know, Mr. Fantasy has cut the cord like you as well. So he's out there, you know, trying to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah, I'm still, I've got, I know this one guy. That has, well, but I'm waiting for the password and login, but, you know, his roommate keeps screwing it up for him.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, that guy still doesn't have that either. He's mentioned it multiple times. We actually have new cable boxes we need to pick up, but I need her password and login to do it, and he hasn't given them to me. So we've literally had these cable boxes out for probably a month and a half, almost 2 months. So, you know. But all right, Dan, I'm dying to get your opinion on this one. And I know, you know, you and I don't watch a lot of, you know, Ultimate Fighting or in this case Bellator, but I saw this story and I kind of thought, you know, maybe it's it could be interesting to get your opinion. But Bellator suspended a fighter by the name of Adam, I'm going to guess this is Pikoloti, for 6 months, Dan, all right? Now, the reason they suspended him was because he posted videos on his Instagram of him, as they put it here, vomiting so he could make weight for his fight. And apparently, he put up 20-plus of these vomiting videos. Is that worth a six-month suspension?
Is that like him being a whistleblower and being punished for it?
Well, you know, I guess he kind of fined himself out, right? I mean, he posted his own videos. He was also fined $2,500.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it seemed kind of extreme to me to give a guy a six-month suspension for blowing up.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, because if you think about it, he's essentially cheating. You know, because he can see if he knows how to control it correctly. And if you said he posted 20 videos, this guy, he's experienced. So he knows what he's doing. And he knows how to achieve and get the results that he's desiring. So he's doing it kind of for that. And then he posts videos. It's like you just put all your evidence out there against you. So, but the suspension for 6 months, I mean, if you think about it, these guys they're not really on a monthly fight basis, are they?
You know, some guys fight more than others, just depending on who you are. Like, I don't think this guy's being on a regular basis. I mean, he's 13-4. So he's only had 17 official fights.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm...
Why I don't know what fighting is doing.
Yeah, I mean, so if that's kind of the case, I would think that part of that suspension is taking into account that he doesn't fight that often, and this is definitely limiting his time. You know, if you think about it in terms of baseball, you and I both agree that... a five-game pitcher suspension is kind of stupid because all you're doing is really giving them an extra day off. So
it's a one-game reality.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you compare, like, the hitter-to-pitcher suspensions, they're never equal. And I think that's kind of what maybe Bellator put into place so that it does account for the time that he might fight. And maybe he's going to, part of his punishment is he has to seek help for his issue.
They don't say anything about that here. They do say he has to be cleared by a nephrologist and he'll need a new EKG and physical examination to compete again.
Yeah.
You know, but Dan, I can tell you as a former high school wrestler, I saw those idiots do stuff like this and, you know, a whole bunch. I mean, anything they could do to cut weight, the advantage of being a heavyweight like I was is you didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I saw these guys put on the plastic sweatsuits and, you
yeah.
know, sit in the hottest parts because obviously we didn't have a sauna or anything like that or a steam room. You know, but you crank the showers up as hot as they'll go, and they would sit in there and sweat and run in those and exercise in those. And, you know, I've seen guys throw up to try to make weight. I even seen one guy shave every single hair on his body thinking it would help. So, you know, these guys do some goofy things.
Well, not only that, I had a friend, you know, he was a little bit heavier, but, you know, super athletic, Filipino, and I only say that because he would complain, you know, that it was hard to keep weight with his, you know, a lot of the diet that his family had. But, you know, it just being in eighth grade, I remember sitting with this kid in lunch, and, you know, he's just looking at us, sweating, and you could tell he's starving, you know what I mean? And, it always kind of bothered me because, like you said, you know, eighth grade, and he was wearing the suit to school to sweat it out.
Yep.
You know, so he can make weight for the weekend. So.
Hey, you know, I know kids who ate lettuce for a week, only lettuce, because
wow.
they had to make weight.
Wow.
You know, yeah, it's nuts what those, you know, some of those guys, they'll put themselves through. You know, just to make their weight or to even go down a weight. It's crazy. And, you know, boxing is a little bit like that, and obviously MMA is like along those lines. Do you think maybe the problem with this one here specifically, Dan, is this guy, let's say, kind of let the cat out of the bag, and maybe a lot of fans didn't know that this stuff goes on for these guys to make weight?
Yeah, well, I mean, and I hate to say that you kind of understand or expect that in the lower ranks, especially the amateur, you know, high school, things like that. But I think the majority of us would just not turn a blind eye, but would just assume this is the pros, the professionals, and they wouldn't have to be doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, if he would have missed weight and lost the fight, obviously he would have lost the payday. You know,
yeah.
And some of these, you know, I don't know what a guy like he makes, being that I don't believe he's a top guy, but I'm sure he probably still needs the money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if that's what he does for a living, he's going to need that payday. Cause like you said, I don't think he's fighting all that often. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, he had to make sure he made weight, and you've got to think he's done this before. So,
well, he posted like 20 videos.
Yeah, well, here you go, Dan. He just fought on February 19th. His last fight before that was August 21st of 2020. So he hadn't fought in over 2 years.
Wow.
So let me see if they have anything else here. Maybe they've got it. Maybe he fought somewhere else. Yeah, no, that was it. So yeah, he was off for 2.5 years. Yeah. So yeah, you were wondering about later, how long you'll fight. Well, there it is, 2.5 years. So you got to wonder, I mean, obviously with a 6-month ban, we won't, you know, the earliest we could see him is, what, September, late August, early September?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought that was kind of strange. When I saw the story, I was like, oh, okay.
You brought it up, so I'm assuming you did, like, loads of research. You know, I've seen that they've been on TV. They've got some kind of cable TV package or, you know, deal for them. roughly, you know, 10 years ago or so, I had a friend who, you know, he had a friend who was actually signed to Bellator back when they were starting out. Has that fighting group changed much, or they're still not something to compete with UFC, are they?
You know, if I remember correctly, they're now owned by UFC. And they have a deal with Showtime, so their matches air on Showtime. But yeah, I think that, you know, they ran into some monetary issues a few years ago. Because for a while there, they were competing with UFC. Mm-hmm. They were right there. There were a lot of guys going back and forth. But I believe they ran into some monetary trouble, and they ended up being purchased by UFC. So they're a, I don't know, subsidiary, however you want to look at it. I can double check that, but I believe that's the case or something like that.
Surprised they were allowed to pull a Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Well, you know, there still are some other, you know, some other MMA promotions out there. So, okay, well, here it does say that they are a subsidiary of Paramount Global. So they're definitely not owned by UFC, which I thought they were. Maybe they were at some point or something like that. But, yeah, so it is the second largest combat sport organization in the world. Obviously, they're behind UFC.
Yeah. See, but I thought, you know, Dana White and got into agreement with some group, so that technically he and the group own UFC.
Yeah, know. I'm trying to remember who is the official UFC owner now and how they went about that, because they had a transition where I don't think Dana White is actually in the ownership group. I know he's president, but I don't believe he is still, like, considered an owner.
He must have been hurting for money.
Well, I believe they made him a gigantic offer. So, you know, he just kind of, you know, if you get to stay on as president, you're still getting, you know, you're still getting a salary on top of what your payoff was. So, let's see. UFC is owned and operated by Zupa Limited Liability Corporation.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and believe it or not, the parent organization of Zupa is William Morris.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
William Morris Endeavor. It describes it here as an American holding company for talent and media agency. So, yeah, that's what they call it. William Morris was a big-time Hollywood agency company. You know, they represent, or at one point in time, I know they represented just about all the top actors and actresses and people like that. So,
well, it kind of falls into that category.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, so that's where UFC sits. So there you go. That's the most UFC talk you and I have had in I don't know how long. So, or MMA talk, since we did talk about Bellator, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, with, like you said, cutting the cable, the way things are done now, since I don't have any channels that I can watch that have UFC, you know, it puts it out of my reach, so to speak. So it's not even really something I'm looking for, so to speak, but not even that, but something I even get advertisements on, you know, through social media and email or whatever. But now I will, since we're talking about it.
Yeah, well, where? I mean, what kind of sports channels do you have? So,
waiting for you. You know, I still have Sling TV, so gives me TNT. There's a free version. I don't, you know, I didn't know this, but they granted me a free version after I canceled. So even using that, so that's only TNT, FS1, and Fox. I subscribe to MLB.TV, so still hoping that the they eliminate the blackouts, because that would be amazing. And then for the NBA, I've got a streaming thing that I use that I paid for. So the NBA can keep sending me those Fire League pass where you can't watch your home team advertisements, and I don't need it.
Yeah, that's always, you know, kind of fun, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, had they removed the blackouts, I probably would have been somewhat of a subscriber, because if I could just watch the Bulls, especially this year, Big Jack, I think it would have been worth it. Especially, you know, without all the cable fees that I don't have. So I probably would have ate that for this season. But, you know, the NBA doesn't want to go that route. They don't want you to see your local team. So.
Yeah.
It's like Rocky Worth. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, with football, I am not the biggest on it, so, but I have Fox. So, you know, you get to see all the Fox games. And then same with NASCAR. But, you know, I forget what happens to NASCAR, you know, halfway through the season. Who gets them? Is it NBC?
Well, it used to be NBC, but remember, that channel went away at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know
so
if they were going to continue sports on their network.
Well, they do. You can get, you know, some of the stuff pops up on the USA Network and then on MSNBC, which is always humorous, you know, if you're looking for news and you get a, you know, like they had motocross on there over the weekend, which I thought was humorous.
Yeah. Well, that was hockey playoff.
You could. Yeah, and then, you know, obviously, you know, we'll get the hockey playoffs. We'll pop up there as well. So you will get, you know, sports here and there. But now it's, you know, they send everything there because obviously there's no NBC Sports Network.
Yeah.
Or at least not for, you know, cable. They'll do, you know, stuff streaming.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I don't understand. Why Peacock, they don't, you know, they don't have any sports. Like, how are you trying to grab more subscribers when you don't even have your sports on there?
Yeah. You know, and you do wonder if that's something they'll grow to, or if they'll, you know, maybe they'll start a Peacock sports channel, you know, something for people to stream.
Yeah. So, but, you know, for this season, the NBA thing's been nice to get it for free. But the caveat is sometimes the stream you get is screwed up. So one night I was watching the Bulls. And the broadcast was actually the sound coming out was actually like an MMA or a boxing fight in Montreal, because the ring announcer was speaking French, and then the broadcast booth, I believe they were Filipino, so I recognized some of the words. You know, the language from my cousin's wife. So, you know, my wife walked in and she's like, what are you watching? You know, so dumbfounded because she sees the Bulls playing, but yeah, it's a foreign language talking.
You know, that's when you mute the TV and turn the radio on.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I was doing with Cub Games with Len Casper and Tim DeChase calling them.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'll listen to Pat Hughes. No, it's a little behind. I'll listen to Pat Hughes. You know, of course, not that we'll get to do that this year, but that's a, you know, that's a different story. So
I'll just be listening on the radio.
Yeah. So, hey, sometimes that's better, right? You know, you just get to hear it on the radio. Nothing wrong with that. I have very fond memories of doing that as a child in the yard with my father while I ran around like an idiot. He would have it on the radio and sit outside in the nice weather. So. But all right, well, you know, Dan, we haven't talked fantasy all day because your teams are really struggling. But I was curious to see if you, hopefully, you don't have Kemba Walker on your team, because apparently the Knicks and Kemba Walker have decided that he is going to sit out the remainder of the season, which I thought was kind of strange because when given some playing time, it actually seemed like he was helping the team, and you know, how Tom Thibodeau likes those veteran guys, but
yeah,
apparently he's done in New York. So I wanted to make sure, you know, you didn't have him on your team because you just have to get rid of him.
Yeah, no, not on my team, luckily.
Oh, okay.
I'm just wondering if he's ever going to play again. Or Lopez.
Yeah, well, there were some reports that he's getting close to coming back. But they didn't have a timetable on, like, when his return was going to be. So, but, yeah, you know, like, the Kemba Walker thing I thought was kind of interesting. You know, he's been for the last, 6 years of his career, a 20-plus point scorer, be it with Charlotte or Boston. And, you know, when New York picked him up, it looked like he could be a guy who could really help him out. But, you know, he didn't play enough. He didn't play much. He only appeared in 37 games. He's only averaging about 25 minutes a game. And his scoring average is down to 11.6. Dan, you got to kind of question the whole deal about why the hell did they even bring him in, right?
Pretty much. He's obviously not garnering any attention from anybody else when they have traded him.
Yeah, you would have thought. I mean, especially with the trade deadline just happening, there wasn't a contender out there that could have used Kemba Walker, even off the bench. I guess maybe that's why the Knicks are where they are this year. You know, I mean, after being a nice surprise last year, this year they're, you know, 25-34, and doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. And I think we talked about it earlier in the week. It may cost Tom Thibodeau his job.
Yeah, do you think it has anything to, well, you know, he kind of gave him that surge, but, you know, we know with the NBA the way it is today, you've got to have that three-man team, so to speak, that big three. And they really don't have that with the Knicks. And, you know, the hot team's been the Nets, you know, even before they had anybody. And I was, you know, and I always sat back. I'm wondering, why does everyone want to go to Brooklyn? Why does no one want to go play in the Garden? Right? Oh, no, that's Boston.
Yeah, well, I think part of it with the Knicks is their owner is a tool bag. You know, they're owned by James Dolan. So you wonder how much effect that has. But, yeah.
Well, no, I was going to bring that up, too. Because, you know, you remember him kicking Charles Oakley out and
never
letting him back in.
Yeah.
And then the BS with Spike Lee.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, it looked like the Knicks were, you know, headed in the right direction. You know, Julius Randle finally played up to the potential people thought he would last year. Now his scoring is a little down this year, but RJ Barrett is playing better. So, you know, that's kind of justifying the draft pick they made there. I think he was top five. And then, you know, so they're a decent 1-2 combination. You would figure with an add of, you know, your guy D. Rose and then Kemba Walker, they would have at least been a playoff team, but obviously Rose got hurt, and for whatever reason they didn't want to play Walker. They have Obi Toppin, who just won that enigmatic dunk contest, but Thibodeau doesn't play him. He only averages about 15 minutes a game. You know how he is with young guys. Went out and got Cam Reddish blocked at the trade deadline. He can score, but he's only playing 11 minutes a game, and, you know, you're not going to score in that time frame. So I don't really know. You know, you look at the rest of the roster, and it's guys like, you know, Alec Burks is getting minutes, and Mitchell Robinson is getting minutes, and, you know, Emmanuel Quickley is getting minutes, and you're just kind of like, wait, why? So, yeah, I'm not sure. You know, maybe they're right and Thibodeau is already worn out as well.
It's hard to say. I mean, whether you like him or not, he does produce.
Yeah, I mean, they won with him last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they were probably the biggest surprise in the NBA, but... You know, at this point, they're, you know, it's going to be a struggle for them to even get in the play-in. I want to see how far out they are. Yeah, they are, they're 3.5 games out of being a play-in team, and they would have to jump your Wizards, which shouldn't be a problem with Bradley Beal out for the rest of the year. So with your guy Bradley Beal out for the rest of the year. But, yeah, they still got to make up ground on, you know, the Wizards and then be at the Hawks or the Hornets to get into the play-in game or play-in tournament. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. Do you?
No.
So, yeah, and then at the beginning of the NBA season, Dan, if I told you with about 20-something regular season games left that the Brooklyn Nets would be in eighth place in their conference and have to go into the play-in tournament and that the Los Angeles Lakers would be ninth in the West and the only way they're getting in the playoffs is to be in the play-in tournament, would you have believed me or would you have just thought I was some nut?
I would have thought you were some nut. And let's be honest. The way they talk about the Lakers and LeBron, especially up until last week, you would think that they are the top seed. No, wait.
Yeah.
What? Why? The Suns? Who? Phoenix? Who?
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee? Who?
Yeah. Phoenix.
Or no, not Milwaukee, but
Phoenix, Golden State, and Memphis have the top three records in the NBA. They're all in the West. And the Lakers still get more airtime, which is so weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, with all the BS with Russell Westbrook, you know, he's the problem. How is he the problem?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fall in line and do whatever he's supposed to, you know, do exactly what the king says. I don't know, but it just seemed like he went there. And any mistake that he's the blame. He's that guy. He's the Starlin Castro of that team.
Yeah, he's the
scapegoat. There we go. I knew. I couldn't remember the word. So they have him, but it's just, you know, it's nothing negative towards Davis, LeBron, and I think that's it. It's just all the trouble that they've had with the team. You know, it's not that. They don't contribute to the problems that are with the team.
Yeah, and do you find it odd that all this, LeBron James talk about, you know, when Bronny gets in the league, LeBron's going wherever he goes. You don't think that's a distraction for the team? Because nobody said it's been one.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm at the point where, God, can't you just bring the kid into the NBA now so he can get it over with?
Yeah, because I think he's only a junior in high school. So we've got at least 2 more years of this. You know, because obviously he's going to have to his senior year, and then he's got to go 1 year somewhere, be it college
or
the G League.
Or
so, you know, yeah, we have 2 more years of dealing with this LeBron James BS about where he's going to play and, you know, will he go back to Cleveland? And, you know, I mean, if I was the Cavaliers, I'd laugh at him if he told me he wanted to come back, because now that they're improving with young players, I wouldn't want him walking in the door and dragging us down. But,
yeah,
you know,
well,
I'm sure they'll take him back if he tells us it.
Yeah, but don't forget, he said it's not about the money, that last year he wants to play with his son. So, I don't know. If I'm let me just put – no, well, it wouldn't be the Bulls because they're doing too well. But let's just say they completely tank off next year, somehow get into the lottery next year or the year after, get into that lottery, pull the draft number one pick, and they're like, he didn't want to sign here back then. Let's, you know, let's pick his son and offer him league minimum.
Yeah,
and,
now, do
you
honestly
just
believe he'll sign the veteran minimum to play with the kid, wherever that ends up being?
I don't believe it. It's definitely one of those you'd have to see it to believe it. I don't know this guy, you know, except from his mouth on TV, you know, whatever, his playing, but I don't buy it. So I'd have to definitely see that one to believe that one. The one thing I do hope for LeBron, though, is that when he does retire, he goes away from the game for at least, you know, 3 to 5 years, lets his son develop his career if that is something that is even, you know, is achievable. He's got the name, but, you know, we don't see Jimmy Jordan or, you know, Jordan Jr. playing in the NBA. I hope he stays away, gets his production, makes billions of dollars, comes back and owns a team. And I want to see how that goes. And then all those times I said he should just shut his mouth, he doesn't own a team, it'll be reversed. I'll just have to shut my mouth because he owns the team.
Yeah, and apparently that's his plan. He wants to go into ownership. Now, I did look up some scouting reports, Dan. They compare Bronny to 3 NBA players. D'Anthony Melton, who I don't know much about, but these other 2 guys, you and I both know. Io DeSumo and Lonzo Ball is who he's compared to NBA-wise.
Wow.
So,
I mean,
you know, that means he's a quality player, but not great.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, it's that time. So let's, if we remember, we can pick this up tomorrow. So folks will take you over to the Facebook page. Go on by the link to the podcast. Don't forget to see what is. That's one time radio. You can also have Daniel and I down on Twitter if you'd like to do that. Which is fine. And if you manage to come on and listen to us live, well, thank you for doing it. If you miss out, give it to www.tv.com if you're interested. Come on over there and you can listen to it on any time you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.